that were going on.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm David Klein. I represent the plaintiff appellants in this matter, Initiative and Referendum Institute, and numerous others. I'd like to give a little context to this dispute, as it may be helpful to refer to an example of the activity that has been subjected to a criminal penalty in this matter. One of the examples is given in the joint appendix at page 270, the affidavit of Vincent Ott. Mr. Ott was collecting signatures on a petition, to place a measure on the Michigan election ballot. It was called Kids First, Yes. He stood on a sidewalk in Belleville, Michigan, a suburban sidewalk within the grounds of a post office. It stood behind a parking lot, and it linked the parking lot to the front door of the post office. I'm sorry? Yes, exactly. It was a Coquinda sidewalk. And he stood to the side of the sidewalk, and as passersby passed, he would ask politely, "Would you like to sign my petition?" If they said yes, then he'd collect the signature. If they said no, or if they said nothing, they'd simply pass by. And that was the end of the encounter. Now, you can get an understanding of the sidewalk. The record includes numerous photos of the property. The joint appendix at page 377, 380, 381 shows the relative position of the sidewalk. This court has already ruled that the challenged ban is not narrowly tailored to protect a significant governmental interest. It has said that the interest in protecting ingress and egress to the post office and preventing...
Wasn't that ruling referring to the Grace sidewalks, though?
No, not really. It was referring to the activity and to the regulation of the activity. It said that if the regulation was applied in a traditional public forum, Grace or Coquinda, but in a traditional public forum, then it failed the test of narrow tailoring.
And there's no question but that the Grace sidewalks are a traditional public forum, right?
That's
the question that we have before us now is whether the Coquinda sidewalks are traditional public forum under that analysis, right?
That's exactly correct, Your Honor. The court said...
Can I ask you about the mootness issue on the Grace sidewalks?
Of course.
So why isn't this moot for the Grace sidewalks? I mean, you've gotten the relief you wanted. They've changed their regulations, and at least as to the Grace sidewalks.
I'm reminded of some commercials on television referring to medications, which provide fast and temporary relief.
And what's the evidence that this is temporary relief?
The evidence of the temporary relief is the history of this case, Your Honor. This case actually has its origins back in 1998.
So you really think there's some risk that the United States Postal Service is going to change its Grace sidewalks?
Given the conduct of this case, I believe that there is a non-negligible risk, which is all that's required. The burden is on the Postal Service in a claim of mootness to show that there is no reasonable risk that's the case. And the precedents of this court and the Supreme Court are consistent with that. For example, in Center for Auto Safety, this court...
And how do they meet that burden? I mean, they have new regulation that gives you everything that you want, and now they've got to make sure this thing doesn't rise from the dead again, right? So how do they show that?
Well, in this instance, perhaps they can't show it, but that's based on the facts of the case. Obviously, you can't make up facts in order to meet a burden, but our position would be that on these facts, they can't show it, unless, unless they state in open court or in their pleadings or somewhere along the way that their original interpretation of the ban and the original form of the ban was unconstitutional, we've invited them.
They've changed it. I mean, they've given you exactly the relief you want on the gray sidewalks. I'm just wondering what your view of the law is as to what else they need to do other than changing the regulation.
Well, if you look at a case like Mesquite, the Supreme Court case, it's pretty clear that when the government has denied the illegality of its prior stance, then the case isn't technically moot, at a minimum. It leaves open for the district court to decide whether to
enter an injunction. So you're looking for a statement that we were wrong before.
No, that's not my position, Your Honor.
I don't understand that.
I think I took the court literally when it said that the case that issue may be pretermitted, and I think that was not an issue that was briefed by anyone. It was not an issue.
I want
you
to help me understand what do you think the government needs to do to bury this thing, so that there's no controversy over.
I think to end the controversy, there are two possible courses of action. Either they concede that the regulation as it existed, there is no judicial mandate right now. They concede either that the regulation as it existed was illegal, or they consent to the entry of an injunction, which would not be that unusual. We have a situation here. Not all of this is in the record, but unfortunately, I've kind of become a lightning rod for these cases. Numerous people call me. Every couple of weeks, I get a call from somebody. What's going on with your case? I've been thrown off a sidewalk somewhere, and I'll tell them what's going on with the case. Sometimes what I hear is disturbing. On Friday, I heard that a person was thrown off a sidewalk which was a gray sidewalk, but it was within 20 feet of the post office building. It wasn't near the door as it happened, it was alongside the building. But the petitioner was removed from the sidewalk because the postmaster said, we have a local rule, you're within 20 feet of the building. Now, if there were an injunction, I would have an enforceable order to wave in the air. Frankly, I don't think I would be chasing my learned colleague and saying your client is in contempt. I think in the first instance, I would be picking up the phone and saying, can you put an end to this? I have an order. That's meaningful. And in a case like this, obviously the post office has been litigating sidewalk cases of one sort or another for 20 years, at least since Kokinda. I dare say that if these issues aren't finally resolved, the post office will be litigating these cases in 20 years' time. And some of the people who are privy to these discussions today won't be there. The institutional memory of a written decision that was not consummated in an order and has no binding effect on the Postal Service will be an irrelevancy. And that's why in cases like Center for Auto Safety, in City of Mesquite, where an ordinance was withdrawn, in the Doe case, Doe versus Harris in this court, again and again, Adirond, Justice Ginsburg, the same thing, again and again, the court has said, this case is not technically moot, and therefore we're bound to decide it. I think that's the situation we're in today. And turning to the history of this case, I think, in a situation where the Postal Service in 1998 and 2000 said, you can't even request a signature. In a deposition in 2002, the author of the ban said, you can't even request a signature. It wouldn't serve our purposes if we allowed you to even request a signature. And then in 2003, in open court, they announced a willingness to change their position, but didn't do it for another year. And then didn't consummate it in a change of the regulation until this court had ruled 5 years into the litigation. They disagree with this court's ruling. And if there's no order, they're not bound by this court's ruling. So, Your Honors, I'd like to go back to Coquinda sidewalks, if I may. For 20 years, most courts have refrained from deciding this question. Not all of them, but most of them. And that's because the Supreme Court was unable to decide the question. But unfortunately, you know, but for the mootness issue, and in fact, in spite of the mootness issue, I would say this court does need to reach the Coquinda issue. That's the one issue that remains before the court. And it has the tools to do so. This court has said, and the Supreme Court has said over and over again, that in public forum analysis as applied to a sidewalk, any sidewalk, the starting point, the operative presumption, is that it's a public forum. We are not contending that that's a presumption that can't be overcome. We are contending that the Postal Service has...
Based on your historical argument of the centrality of the post office to community life, how would you distinguish between a Coquinda sidewalk and the entranceway to the post office, or would you? I mean, once you get inside, is it completely different, or...
Oh, I think so. Once you're
Why?
Inside a post office, you're not on a sidewalk, for one thing.
But your argument has been, as I recall from the briefing, that you talked about, you know, times past, people would gather around in the post office waiting for the news, place where discussions took place. Was that always outside the post office? Or?
No, Your Honor, that was throughout the post office property.
Yeah,
some of the historic examples right. talked about waiting outside for a rider to show up with the mail and then the debate that would ensue. I'm sure it varied.
What's the difference between a Coquinda sidewalk and inside the post office?
Well, a Coquinda sidewalk, to start with, is a sidewalk. I would say that if a plaintiff came before you and was seeking to demonstrate that the interior of a sidewalk building was a public forum, the burden would be on them. That's the difference.
Starting with sidewalk.
How you treat the evidence would be different. Here, you have a situation where you're starting with the sidewalk. The burden is on the government to overcome that presumption. We didn't need to put in any historical evidence. You know, we're in the position of defending the presumption. We put in the historical evidence to demonstrate that there's nothing about a post office that's inconsistent with the with its function, with the function of the sidewalk as a place where someone could engage in the simple act of either requesting a signature on a petition.
Did the Supreme Court say anything in Grace that we can use to apply, to extend Grace to the Coquinda sidewalk? I mean, you're looking for, Coquinda didn't resolve the issue, but is there something in Grace that could help us?
Well, I think the thing in Grace that helps you is that Grace, among other cases, is one that said a sidewalk without more is a traditional public forum. Another case, obviously, is Frisbee.
But let's go back to the Grace case. They were talking about the perimeter sidewalks around the Supreme Court, right? You know, we all know there's a sidewalk that gets you in the Maryland Avenue entrance. Does Grace apply to that sidewalk? Can a protester stand outside the Maryland Avenue exit to the Supreme Court on a sidewalk and protest?
You mean an interior sidewalk?
Yes, an interior sidewalk.
Well, I think that would
be like a Coquinda sidewalk.
I think that would get you to the point. I think that it would be a traditional public forum in all likelihood, but time, place, and manner restrictions would apply. Just as here, we have regulations against ingress.
I'm just asking something very specific about Grace right. that I hadn't thought of before. If after Grace, can someone demonstrate on that, on the Maryland Avenue, on the sidewalk that goes into the Maryland Avenue entrance to the Supreme Court? We know they can demonstrate out front, right?
Right.
But can they walk onto the interior sidewalk and demonstrate under Grace?
I would have to look at it again, but my take, I believe, is that Grace does not decide that question. It doesn't, nothing in Grace says the interior sidewalk is not a traditional public forum. It says, we know that the exterior, the perimeter, so-called sidewalk, is a traditional public forum. That's all we need to decide today, and that's what the court decided.
That's because of its proximity to the street, isn't it?
Well, in that particular instance, that may have been the strongest case, but as we've pointed out, a case like Letterman, which was within the Capitol grounds, well, 300 feet within the Capitol grounds. That was, if you will, not a term I like, an interior sidewalk. It didn't look like a street sidewalk. The Letterman court started with the presumption that because it's a sidewalk, it's a public forum. And then it looked at the purposes of the Capitol and it said, well, you know, this is the heart, this is a legislative place. This is a seat of our government.
But a post office is not, right? And the function of a post office in the community has changed drastically.
Well,
when's the last time you went to the post office?
Saturday.
Saturday, okay. What's the last time you went to the post office to get news from the community?
Well, I typically look at the bulletin board. I look at the, you know, who's wanted. I can pick up my selective service forms. I can, get a new passport. It is a seat of government. The communities see it as a seat of government. There's another example in the record, I think from Great Falls, Montana, where the postmaster came out and to remove a signature gatherer. And two individuals were waiting to sign. And they, according to the affidavit, they argued with the postmaster on behalf of the signature gatherer because their perception was it is a seat of government. In Washington, it's sometimes difficult for us to understand because we're surrounded by the government. There's more government than there is me. But if you are in Great Falls, Montana, or Garden Valley, Idaho, that is the government. That's where you can go. And you're powerless to address the government if you can't go to a place where, you know, the flag is in front, there's a plaque with the name of the president.
Do it on the Grace sidewalk.
I'm sorry?
Do it on the Grace sidewalk.
Well, no, but in Garden Valley, there's no Grace sidewalk. In fact, the postmaster testified that in the two towns that post office served, it was approximately equidistantly located between the towns in a remote location. And you can look at the pictures of that as well if you care to. The two towns for 100 years had fought over who gets the post office. And so finally the post office threw up its hands and they put it halfway in the middle. The town of Crouch has one sidewalk in the entire community. The town of Garden, and it's unfortunately, it's in front of commercial businesses that don't allow petitioning. The town of Garden Valley has no pavement at all. Now, I'll acknowledge that that's extreme, but not that extreme. There are many, many communities where the post office is a place, it is a center of the type that we've described, and certainly nothing suggests, there's just no evidence in the record that suggests that this is somehow an enclave. This is not a military installation like Greer versus Spock. This is not a prison like Adderley.
Well, just to make sure that I understand your argument, because you seem to have argued a couple of different things. One is that all sidewalks are traditional public forums. And also, if I understand what you've been saying in the argument just now, is that the post office itself, post office writ large, is a traditional public forum. So we don't even have to worry about whether the sidewalks are Grace sidewalks or Kakinda sidewalks. It's the post office.
If I've said that I've been misunderstood. I'm not saying that all sidewalks are traditional public forums. I'm saying that the starting point for analysis is a presumption that they're a traditional public forum. It's a rebuttable presumption. But it needs to be rebutted. I mean, I think this court in Henderson said, I always think that Judge Henderson wrote Henderson, but in fact, I don't think you were on the panel. This court in Henderson said that a sidewalk is presumed to be a traditional public forum unless it's shown that expressive activity is incompatible with the primary purpose of the forum. So certainly it's a rebuttable presumption. There's been no showing like that here. As far as the post office is concerned.
And the primary purpose of a Kakinda sidewalk is as an expressive forum? I don't think so.
No, no.
The primary purpose of a Kikinda sidewalk is to get from the parking lot into the post office to do your business, right?
And the primary purpose of every sidewalk is to facilitate the movement of a pedestrian from one place to another. Now, I've never seen a sidewalk with a soapbox in it. But
the Grace sidewalk has a different function than does the Kikinda sidewalk, granted, right?
It all depends on how you define the function, but I'm willing to grant that,
Yes. Yeah, the Kikinda function is to get into the post office to do your business. The Grace function is to go from wherever to wherever, and you're near the street, and we've traditionally said streets and sidewalks by streets are places where we allow expressive activity.
But we didn't say, excuse me, you didn't say streets and sidewalks by streets. You said streets, sidewalks, and parks. Mm-hmm. If I were to be very crabbed about it, and I'll take a moment
you recognize, or do you, that there's a difference in the function between a Kikinda sidewalk and a Grace sidewalk?
I would say that there is some difference in function. I would say the difference is not material. You'd need to demonstrate that somehow that difference, the function of the Kikinda sidewalk, is incompatible with the speech activity.
But the primary purpose of the Kikinda sidewalk is to get people into the post office to do business, right?
Sure.
What's the primary purpose of the Grace sidewalk? It's not related to...
To get people wherever else it is that they want to do business.
Right.
That's the way I see it. I don't see the thoroughfare distinction as being very powerful. In fact, if the sidewalk came to a dead end, but it happened to be part of a municipal road, we wouldn't be having that discussion. The dead end, presumably, let's say there's a house at the end of it or an office building. Is its purpose to serve the office building? Yes, but the real question is, the way the courts have framed it is, first of all, is it a sidewalk? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, then the question is speech activity incompatible with the function of this sidewalk? Incompatible? And the answer is no, we believe. Now, just to finish my answer to your question, Judge Brown, we're not contending that a post office, we don't have to contend that a post office is a public forum. And that's not the point of our argument, and it never was. The point of our argument is that the Postal Service is trying to portray the post office property as some special enclave which sets it apart enough to overcome the presumptive forum status of the sidewalk. Now,
every sidewalk doesn't have the same presumptive forum status. I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out here. I mean, just we say streets, sidewalks, and parks, but we modify that by saying classic, traditional. In other words, that there are differences among those things. If that were not true, why would we have Kikinda at all? I mean, the issue wouldn't come up.
Well, first of all, the phrase classic and traditional isn't really embodied much in the case law. Judge Roberts said it, and he did take the word classic out of the Henderson case. The Henderson case, much like the Grace case, was saying, you know, in order to decide this case, it's enough to say that this looks like a classic sidewalk, but that's certainly not a legal term of art. In Henderson itself, it was an interior sidewalk. And as far as, I don't think it's correct to say there's no presumption. There is a presumption. It's a rebuttable presumption. The courts have said it over and over again. This court has said it over and over again. Most recently, members of this panel have said it in their opinions. In Doe versus Mahoney, Mahoney versus Doe, in Oberwetter, we've seen that presumption restated over and over again. I'm not saying that all sidewalks are necessarily and irrebuttably a public forum, but this is the First Amendment. The tie goes to the speaker. The Supreme Court actually used those words recently. The tie goes to the speaker. And It's right and proper in a case like this, where criminal penalties are being imposed on speech, to place that burden on the government. That wasn't done here.
Let me ask you about American Postal Workers Union from 85. Do you think that's been where we said that the non-public forum standard was applicable? Is it inside the post office? But you said to Judge Brown that there's this argument that the post office is somehow special or something. Well, haven't we said that ourselves as far as what type of forum it is? And that hasn't changed.
Yeah, and Your Honor, I'm not suggesting that, as I've said, I'm not suggesting that a post office itself is a public forum. I think the fact that the post office is the speech activity involved was within the lobby of a building,
right,
makes it quite different. It would be quite appropriate in almost any building to, in fact, I would say Oberwetter is of a piece with that to a certain extent as well. When you're talking about the interior of a space and a space that's fairly confined and has dedicated uses, maybe overwhelming uses, it may well be impractical. And there was no precedent to suggest that the inside of the building was a traditional public forum, nor, of course, were they entitled to any presumption because there was no sidewalk involved. It wasn't a sidewalk, it wasn't a street, it wasn't a park. Those are the classic traditional public forums. Certainly there are exceptions. A military base is an excellent exception. There are all kinds of issues of discipline. The commandant of a military base needs to maintain control over the base and what goes on there. Inside of a prison, it hardly announces itself to the public as a place where the public is invited. Here, in a post office, the public is not only invited, it's necessary. Sometimes in this discussion, the word public sidewalk has been used to mean a synonym for municipal sidewalk. We're not talking about a municipal sidewalk, but we're certainly talking about a public sidewalk.
You've gone over your time, and we'll give you some time in response. But as far as the post office being necessary, and this is, I don't mean this to be flip, but isn't there an ad now that says, I don't ever have to go to the post office again? Is that the post office making that ad?
I haven't seen that ad. That's a good ad. I would suggest that one might not have to go to the post office again, but one might well want to, and particularly for all of the purposes that I've described. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Braswell?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Before I discuss the issue of the Coquinda sidewalks that are the remaining issue in this case, I just want to address the issue, Judge Griffith, that you discussed with appellant's counsel regarding gray sidewalks and mootness. Because frankly, I find it astounding that the thrust of appellant's argument is that decisions by this court are meaningless unless they're accompanied by an injunction. And that's in essence what the appellant is saying. That absent an injunction, the Postal Service will ignore this court's decision in this very case and will amend its regulation to prohibit activities on gray sidewalks. As Judge Roberts found, there was not a scintilla of evidence that this was likely to happen. And in order for appellants to show that the issue involving gray sidewalks is not moot, they have to show that there is a likelihood of recurrence. It is their burden, and they failed completely in meeting that burden. With respect to the Coquinda sidewalks, the district court in this case properly rejected appellant's facial challenge to the Postal Service regulation that restricts activities concerning gathering signatures on polls, petitions, and surveys on exterior postal sidewalks that do not resemble gray sidewalks, what we have all called the Coquinda sidewalks. This property is a non-public forum, and the restriction is reasonable because it is content neutral and it advances the Postal Service's business purposes of wanting to make sure that the postal premises are attractive for customers to come and engage in postal business. As has been made clear, the facial challenge, as is well established, is something that is to be used as last resort. And before the court can decide the constitutional question, the court has to decide what the forum is, because that will then dictate what kind of analysis the court will use. As the Supreme Court noted in the Postal Service versus Greenberg case, that property that is owned by the government does not become a public forum simply because it is owned by the government. And that's true even if the property is used for transmitting ideas, communications, such as the mailboxes that were at issue in the Greenberg Civil Association case. And as this court recently held in both Bordley and Oberwetter, the determinative question of what the forum status is not what the forum is called, but what purpose does it serve? For example, Mount Rushmore is called a national park, but that doesn't make it necessarily a public forum. As this court said in Bordley, the fact that there are trees and grass in a park doesn't mean that that park is necessarily a public forum. And in fact, the court noted in Bordley that within our national park system, there are undoubtedly large swaths of park that are not public forum, like wildlife preserves and the like. So the fact that something is called a sidewalk does not end the analysis. At most, as this court has recognized, the fact that a particular piece of property is denoted a sidewalk raises an assumption at a very general, high level of generality, as this court noted, that it's a public forum. But that's only the beginning of the test, and much has been made of who bears the burden of proof in this case. An appellant continually says that it is the government's burden. However, this court in Bordley made very clear that it was the plaintiff's burden, that the mere fact that you have a sidewalk at issue does not switch the burden of proof to the government to prove that it's a non-public forum. Rather, the cases lay out, as Judge Roberts indicated in his opinion, how that burden proceeds. There's a working presumption that a sidewalk is a traditional public forum, but then the plaintiff must prove that that sidewalk is like a United States versus Gray sidewalk. It's like the, as the, this court in Henderson said, the classic variety, which actually is now a legal term of art, because the court used the term classic variety in Henderson and then cited Grace right after its use of that term. So what the court was saying in Henderson is, we consider classic variety of sidewalks that are a traditional public forum to be those that the United States Supreme Court found to be a public forum in Grace. A sidewalk that looks like a city sidewalk, people can walk along that sidewalk going from one place to another. There's nothing to indicate that they have come to a special place, that they have entered into a special preserve. The plaintiff, appellants refer to this court's decision in Letterman. And yes, Letterman involved the east front sidewalk of the Capitol, which was in the Capitol grounds. So there's no question it wasn't a sidewalk like the sidewalk in Grace. But at issue in Letterman was the fact that when the case came to this court, the court said there is already controlling case authority that says that all of the Capitol grounds constitute a public forum. And therefore, this court in Letterman said specifically, we have little maneuvering room. That's the term this court used, because of the controlling case authority. And so it was only because of the controlling case authority that the burden shift to the government to show that the East Front sidewalk was, in fact, should be treated differently than other sidewalks.
Do you know the answer to my question about the Maryland Avenue entrance to the Supreme Court?
I don't, and I was trying to sort of picture it, Your Honor, in my mind to see whether or not it would be. And I'm sorry, I just can't give an answer as to whether or not that would be a traditional public forum, whether or not it would be considered a gray sidewalk. So Letterman is really a unique type of situation. You're talking about the Capitol. This is a place where, as this court said, people come to bring their grievances. They come to have public discourse. They come to have public assembly. That's not at all what a post office is about. So I think the fact that Letterman put the burden on the government in that case is easily distinguishable from the remaining cases. And in Henderson, the burden only shifted to the government after this court found that the sidewalks at issue were like gray sidewalks. They were the traditional type of classic variety public forum sidewalks. So then the burden shifted to the government to show that there was some sort of specialized use such that these sidewalks should not be considered traditional gray sidewalks. So, and in this case, the presumption already is gone Because this court, the last time this case was here, said Coquinda sidewalks are, quote, difficult to characterize. In contrast to the Gray sidewalks, in which this court found their categorization was straightforward. So this court has already, we've moved past the presumption in this case, because this court has already acknowledged that the type of sidewalks that are at issue right now in this appeal are difficult to characterize. Therefore, there is no longer a presumption that they constitute a traditional public forum.
So there's no presumption, and plaintiffs have the burden here, and they've presented some evidence. Does that have any effect on the resolution of this case?
Well, it does in the sense that the evidence they presented, Your Honor, does not meet their burden of showing that a substantial number of Coquinda sidewalks have been used for expressive activity. If you look at all the evidence that they've presented, the articles, the painting of the tavern, all of it talks about postal property in general. It talks about, and it doesn't distinguish between post offices themselves, which this court has already held, as Judge Henderson mentioned, in the American Postal Workers Union case, that the post offices are a non-public forum. And yet much of what appellants have relied on talks about how post offices are a place where you go and you get the mail, and they claim that that's where people engage in discourse, et cetera. Under their theory, that evidence goes to inside the post offices. And of course, as we've shown, much of the evidence that they also refer to about even inside post offices, in the history of the post offices, this consisted of a post office inside a commercial establishment. So post offices historically were not as we see them today, with their own buildings and their own sidewalks, et cetera. But they have provided no evidence that is specific to Coquinda sidewalks. They have, in their reply brief, they cite to three declarations where individuals said that they were gathering signatures on Coquinda sidewalks. But in all three of those declarations, those individuals were asked to leave by the postal employees when the postal employees discovered this. So, in fact, the record in this case shows that there has not been substantial First Amendment activity on Coquinda sidewalks. And indeed, the survey that was done by the parties in order to try and gather additional information for the district court on the use of sidewalks showed that 94% of those responding in the sample said there had never been any expressive activity on their sidewalks. That's in the Whitman Declaration. And that really ends the matter in terms of showing a substantial number. While the court has never indicated what would constitute a substantial number of instances where First Amendment activities are being violated, surely 6% is not a substantial number. And even the 6%, some of that activity was occurring on Gray sidewalks, which is not at issue here. And I do want to point out that in response to the appellant's reply brief about the survey, where appellants talk about 77.9% of the individuals observe some expressive activity, they're only talking about a subset of all of the answers. In their reply brief, they say that question six is the valid question to focus on. But question six in the survey was only focused on the respondents who were saying that they had seen expressive activity. It doesn't take into account those responding to question number four, the 94% that said they had seen no expressive activity. So their percentages are inflated by the fact that they're only looking at a very small number of people that reported that they had seen some activity on Coquinda sidewalks. So they simply,
We've expended all of this energy trying to figure out what sort of forum this is or is not, do we still have to deal with the question of the reasonableness of
absolutely. And in a non-public forum, for non-public forum property, the only question is reasonableness. And here, the restriction clearly is reasonable. There's undisputed evidence in the record from Mr. Hintonock that customers have complained. There were oral complaints. They weren't written complaints. But there, he said that over the years that the Postal Service had allowed this kind of signature
gathering. A lot of people complain about First Amendment activities, don't they? I mean, that's pretty standard. People complain about political advertisements. Why is that?
Well, but these complaints were actually...
Isn't that the price you pay to live in a free and open society?
But these complaints went to the gathering of signatures. The Postal Service did not react to the complaints, Your Honor, by shutting down their sidewalks to all First Amendment activities. In fact, they tailored it to the actual issue that was causing disruption, the gathering of signatures. So there is no prohibition, for example, on passing out a pamphlet saying, here's what our petition is about, this is what we're trying to get signatures on.
Gathering of signatures is a protected First Amendment activity.
It is. It's considered petitioning. But
you have people who don't like to be petitioned, right?
There are people.
And they complain about it. What weight should be given to that?
Because it's disruptive, and because it's a non-public forum, and the test is only whether or not it's reasonable, the Postal Service has enacted this restriction because they want customers to come to the post office. In fact, the reference that Judge Henderson made to the ad, which I think is stamps.com, the Postal Service is in dire straits right now. This court can take judicial notice of that. They're talking about ending Saturday mail delivery, which, since it's all catalogs, I'm all in favor of. But at any rate, they're talking about closing hundreds, if not thousands, of post offices across the country. The competition is very, very steep. The Postal Service needs to be able to do anything it can to make it attractive to come to postal premises, to come and transact your postal business at a post office. And when you have to go past somebody that's trying to gather signatures, which the Supreme Court in Coquinda said was disruptive, because it requires, instead of taking a pamphlet, it requires the person to stop, read what the petition is about, decide whether or not they're going to act right then, and then go ahead and act. So it is clearly more disruptive than somebody standing with a sign or holding a leaflet. And that's what makes this restriction reasonable, because they tailored it to the exact kind of conduct that they were getting complaints about. And of course, it's content neutral. That's not even disputed.
But you have other regulations that deal with people who are disruptive or obstreperous or who impede ingress and egress and that sort of thing. So there are other ways to deal with that. And you've said the evidence is that there's not very much of this activity going on. So if there's not very much of it going on, why do you need to prohibit it?
Well, there's not very much going on because there's been a prohibition, Your Honor, since 1998. But also, the Supreme Court in Heffron made very clear that the government is allowed to act before the problem occurs in order to make sure that it does not occur. And the regulation that the Postal Service has that allows it to deal with disruptive activity, the disruptive activity has to occur before it can deal with it. So that's not sufficient, as Judge Roberts indicated in his decision, where the Postal Service, in order to make its property attractive for customers, wants to prohibit this activity from occurring, not just deal with it once it does occur. So in light of the fact that it is clear, and every court of appeals to rule on this issue, except the Fourth Circuit in Coquinda that was reversed, has held that postal property is a non-public forum, in light of that plethora of legal precedent, in light of the lack of any evidence that this property has been used for as a traditional public forum, and in light of the fact that the restriction is reasonable, content neutral, tailored to the exact activity that was generating complaints, we urge the court to affirm the district court's decision in this case. Thank you very much.
Yes, Mr. Kline, why don't you take a couple minutes?
I will. Thank you very much, Your Honor. Just a couple of points I want to make. First of all, as to the reasonableness of the regulation, which Ms. Braswell raised, we do not concede that this regulation is reasonable. In order to be reasonable, the regulation has to serve and not disserve the function for which it exists, especially when it's impinging on First Amendment rights. Here, the Postal Service expressly allows signature collection in a customer-passive manner for nonpartisan voter registration. However, it allows.
Is there anything in the record about them getting objections about voter registration?
No, there isn't.
Is there anything in the record about them getting objections about petition drives?
No, but I don't think that in the absence of a record on this point, the court.
I thought there were evidence of complaints of postal patrons complaining about signature.
Actually, very few. Very few. In fact, when we first took discovery, they said they had none. They said they had none, and that's in the record, too. And then afterwards, they produced 18 pages of evidence of people who had been removed from sidewalks, mostly because of this ban. So there's precious little of that. But getting back to the point of reasonableness, this is a regulation that bars as malign the collection of a signature, which is constitutionally protected, and yet permits the signature gatherer to request the signature and to engage in all kinds of speech, but will impose a criminal penalty if the signature gatherer actually collects a signature, if he does exactly what the voter registrar does and is allowed to do, then he's subject to up to 30 days in jail. That's point one. That is not reasonable, Your Honors. Point two, the survey evidence, we believe, is being misconstrued here. 94% of the postmasters who were asked the question, how much expressive activity have you seen on your sidewalk, simply didn't supply an answer. One of the available answers was none, but they didn't supply that answer either. Of those who did respond for 418 discrete sidewalks, 73% were observing expressive activity on a repeated basis. Twice as many answered that they saw it 3 to 6 times a year or more as said none. Now, it may be that this is not statistically significant. We're only talking about a few hundred sidewalks. But if you multiply a few hundred sidewalks by 3 to 6 times a year, by the 13 years now that this ban has been in effect, you quickly get to thousands of instances in which speech has been criminalized within a forum, whatever you want to call it, a forum where speech is recurring on a regular and repeated basis. I don't have time, I think, to discuss the case law that was raised, so I won't. Obviously, I encourage the court to think carefully about the issues, and I thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.